Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's Friday on Hail Varsity Radio. Colton Stone alongside Elijah Herbal. Like Texas, we're back until we lose to Maryland. Call us 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Find us on Twitter at Two Birds One Stone, at Herbal Essences. I think the last time we did this, Elijah, I kept messing it up. I never put the S on the end. It is multiple essences, not a sponsor, but...
Yeah, don't get me sued.
Yeah, have they asked you for the handle yet? Maybe because you have an underscore in it, right?
I have an underscore. Okay. They don't. And then theirs is H-E-R-B-A-L. Mine is H-E-R-B-E-L. So
they might still try to buy it from you. You never know.
Oh, I get a lot of people tweeting at me saying, oh, thanks. I love the new hair products. It's fun for
you're
a little
welcome.
Bit.
I made them in my in my bathtub. Yeah, I just bottle them right now.
Well, I know when they get new ad campaigns because there'll be different hashtags going. And like the different like people that they pay money to test out these products, they'll tweet at me and they'll make the mistake, and that's when I know they came out with a new ad campaign.
There you go.
Yeah,
Schmidt is out on the golf course. We won't bug him. Maybe he's still golfing. I don't know. At first, I was kind of jealous because who doesn't love to golf? But after I nearly melted in that inferno out there. I'm kind of glad we're in here now. I don't know if hopefully your AC is working in that side, but.
Well, one of my roommates actually yesterday left a window open.
Oh, no.
And got home last night. It was 80 degrees in the house. So I think
it was windy, but it was a hot wind. So
I think we're going to have a high air conditioning bill this month. That's rough.
Yeah, that's June, July, August for you pretty much. Yeah, I know. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Jacob Padilla will talk about most recent Nebraska basketball news, kind of what's bumping around for a couple of the guys that are going to be playing in summer leagues and as well as some in-state recruiting with him. And then Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, Bill Dolman, in about an hour, just under. And we'll catch up with everything with Bill Dolman, a different kind of baked. It's just hot, not Colorado, you know. We'll ask him maybe global warming is snowing in Colorado and it's 100 here, so who knows. But first and foremost, congratulations to the U.S. Women's National Team. 2-1 over France into the semis. I haven't gotten a chance to watch too much because, France is time. A little different from ours. A little too far ahead for me, but I don't have cable at home anymore. So I just don't have the means to watch it, but 2-1 over France, you defeat the host country in the quarterfinals, you get them out of the way early, and now you play England in the semis.
Let me just say, that United States support was incredible. They're playing in France, in Paris, in front of the home crowd, and the United States fans were louder than the France fans. So big shout out to the United States fans getting out over to Europe, and then just the Americans in Europe showing up to those games, being loud and supporting the women. Good stuff. Going on to England Tuesday, playing in Lyon. That sounds right, yeah.
Who's on the other side? Have they figured out what the other semi is yet? I'm not asking you. Come on, Elijah, you got to know this off the top of your head. But big win. The U.S. is it's so funny how I'm not going to say that. I mean, personally, I think I enjoy watching the women's national team more. I feel like they just play a better game of soccer.
Well, they win.
Oh, and they win. Yeah. You know, that's always the added fact. How many was it? They had like 100 and some games in a row. I mean, it was like a UConn type streak where they had like 100 and some games in a row that now there were a few draws, but it was not a winning streak, but they also didn't lose. It was like 98 or 100 and some games. It was nuts.
It was 100 and something games straight that they had not lost after taking the lead in the game or something like that.
Well, and I think it was just like at home in general,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're winners. We breed winners here in America. But
unless it's the men's national team.
Well, you know, I always say, I say this to a lot of people, and, you know, a lot of people don't watch women's basketball a lot, but I enjoy announcing women's basketball for the simple fact that it's an easier style of basketball to watch as far as fundamentals go. And it's just like, you don't see everybody just running up and down the court. It's like, oh, here we go. I have a chance. I can dunk this thing. I feel like it's kind of the same with soccer. It's just like, we're gonna win.
It's more of a team game,
but let's not just, you know, now the men's national team won the other night, and then was it Trinidad and Tobago, they just poured it on. But CONCACAF World Cup, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you have Mexico's good.
Yeah. Canada, what are they good at? Hockey. So yeah, 2-1, take on England. One of these days, we'll figure out what the other semi is, and we'll go from there. But moving on, so Schmidt and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. We got Jerry DiNardo's thoughts on the transfer waiver, how they're changing the rules with this, and I know we haven't gone too much into depth, and I don't want to like drag this out and like, you know, how many different ways can we attack this thing? But it is important, you know, topic to discuss, because there's
with the landscape of college football, yeah. Now there's so in college basketball, all the sports, there's so many transfers, mm-hmm. that it's becoming that a lot of a team's best players aren't coming there straight out of high school anymore,
right?
It's how you build your team now, is through transfers.
Yeah, and I mean, look at it's funny because you want to say like, oh well, how big of a deal is it? Well, look at Hoiberg's roster. It's, you know, almost all transfers. Now, part of that's because it's really hard to just jump in and then recruit for that class immediately. But without transfers or without guys being able to get eligibility right away, I mean, and the thing is, they're trying to pigeonhole it to where it's like, oh, here are the criteria, unless, you know, someone just signs a piece of paper. Like Jerry DiNardo said, if you're an athletic director or you're a coach and you're the one making millions of dollars, and you're going to have a guy that's second or third team, and you want to solely keep him so that you have someone that's second or third team. Like, why not sign the paper?
Now, for the people who haven't tuned in the past couple days, you want to lay out what the basics of this new rule change is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's just making it harder to get. Obviously, if you're grad transfer, it's fine. It is, as long as you transfer somewhere as a grad transfer, they have your graduate program, it's fine. They're more so of the Noah Vedral type transfers, where your coach is leaving, or your position coach is leaving, whatever. So you're like, I'm out. Like, I agreed not to this. Like, a lot. And that's a weird thing, because a lot of times people say, you know, I'm committed to the coach, not the university. And then there's the flip side where it's like, well, you're committed to the university, not the coach. And guys go both ways, but a lot of times it's to the university. So if the coach leaves, but think about this, like the idea that people have come up with is, okay, well, if a coach wants to leave before his contract is up, he has to sit out, like, he can sign a new contract, but he has to sit out a year. Or has to, like, take some kind of a, like, personal hit where, like, you can't make, you know, X amount of dollars your first year, or you can't, you know, whatever it may be, their own ramification. But that's the thing, it's like a coach can just leave at any time. I mean, look at Jimbo Fisher. He's just like, he probably had the signature for Texas A&M long before he told Florida State that he was out. I mean, it's not exactly how it works, but that's how a lot of guys function it. It's just you're leaving long before you tell someone you're leaving.
Yeah, you could also just blame it on a health crisis and then finish coaching out the season and then retire and then
and
come
then
back
go to
in
USC.
A couple years.
Oh, yeah, but basically, I mean, this rule, it's a lot of jargon, basically, but it's a lot of legal words, and it's essentially saying that if you want to get a waiver request, you have to fall under certain criterion, where.
So now it just can't be like, well, I'm not getting the playing time I want.
I don't feel like being here.
Oh, I really side with the athletes here. The NCAA preaches all the time that they're here for the betterment of the athletes, mm-hmm. and they're here for the athletes' mm-hmm. best interest. But when the athlete's best interest is to go to a different school to get playing time, or maybe it's to follow a coach, it's no longer in their best interest now. Now it's in the NCAA's best interest.
See, and this is the point that that Jerry made, and this is what really stuck me. He's really passionate about this. He gets passionate about this kind of stuff because he's very much so for protecting the student athlete. That's like you just said. It's about the betterment of the student athletes, and you know, these guys. A lot of times, what Jerry said is there's a few sides to this. Is one. Guys a lot of times are being preached like, here are the academics of the university, but because of your ability to play this sport, like, we will give you the access to those academics. So then what Jerry was saying is if a guy were to leave, it's like, oh, but, you know, all the agreement we made was about the academics. It was never about playing time. It's just that because you have a God-given talent as a high schooler, like, that's helping you get into this university that you may not have gotten into prior. Another thing he said is the fact that this just proves that the NCAA is more about the business and the financial stability for them rather than it is about the betterment of the student athletes. And the other portion is just that, like, a guy that's making millions of dollars is and the coach or the AD, whoever it may be, is basically trying to tell a kid that, like, oh, but, well, yeah, I know you're not getting the playing time right now, but what if this happens or what? It's like, like you said, I side with the players too. It's, if you're a fan of that team, like if you're a fan of Nebraska and, you know, a running back were to leave or your starting quarterback were to leave, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but something like that, you'd be like, oh, man. I mean, okay, perfect example, Jebbia, right? He leaves, and, you know, you kind of like, oh, man, we had a second option in case Martinez got hurt or in case we needed someone else to play and it, you know, went off the rails. But that's the perfect example where, like, if you are a quarterback, there's one way to make it to the league, and that's to play games, to play more games, because there's only one quarterback out on the field at any time. Other positions, you can have more than one, right? So there's only one of you out there. If you are the second, maybe third option on the team, what's your likelihood of playing? And you're not going to be a guy on the team's like, man, I hope so-and-so gets hurt. No, you don't want that. Because
teammates.
Right. And it's healthy to have competition. But I think that culture's changing where it's like, hey, Adrian's our quarterback, but we need guys behind him like Luke McCaffrey, like Logan Smothers, that are going to push him to be his best.
Their time will come, but right now their time is to push Martinez
right.
And be as good as they can to make sure Martinez is as good as he can be.
But on the flip side, if Luke McCaffrey next year or, you know, a Noah Vedral or whoever was like, all right, I've got 2 years of eligibility. I know McCaffrey has more, but a guy like Vedral, I have 2 years of eligibility. Am I going to play? Do I need to switch positions? What's the deal? If he makes a decision to go, or a receiver, a lineman, whatever makes the decision to go, in this industry, if you want to make it to the league, you've got to play. And if you aren't playing, go find somewhere that can.
And that's the shift in college football, and that's what makes it hard for Nebraska recently. Is back in the 90s, Nebraska had those teams where their scout teams could go out and kick the other team's ass on Saturday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now our scout team is, we got guys that are wanting playing time, and they're competing, but it's not like the 90s. These aren't guys that are going and are... they're going to be starters next year. They're going to be starters in 2 years. We have a lot of guys where they're realizing, I'm not going to be starter next year. I'm not going to be starter in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just transfer to somewhere where I can go get some playing time and I can get some looks.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And it's just a culture shift throughout the NCAA.
Well, a lot of people, and Jerry highlighted this too, a lot of people want to say, Jerry and I are a Big Ten Network, a lot of people want to say, like, oh, well, you want to leave your team just because you aren't getting playing time. You're quitting on your team. It's like, no, if your goal, like any job, you know, because people want to say, well, you're an athlete or a student first, and then you're an athlete. Yes, by definition. However, you know, there's one business making money off of you being that second part, and, you know, because of that, you're getting the first part. So it's like, it's kind of this roundabout way where, yeah, you're a student, but you're a student because you're an athlete. And not all guys are like that, but in any job, if you are offered a better position, even if a guy from a Power Five were to go down to like an AAC, I guess the WAC doesn't exist anymore, but a MAC, whatever it may be, like, yes, it's smaller, but your position is better, your responsibility is higher, and that's any job. Like, you may go to a smaller company, but you may have more responsibility and may make more, you know, in air quotes, as a student athlete, you're not making money, but you may make more or gain more by going somewhere smaller and having that responsibility rather than like, yeah, I'll just kind of sit back and if they need me, they need me.
Or maybe you got family closer to home with the other job that you want to go to. There's a variety of reasons that a player could want to transfer, and I don't think we should punish them for making a mistake in choosing a university that they wanted to go to when they were 18. Mm-hmm. Coaches will come out and say anything to get a guy to come to this university. They'll say, I guarantee you playing time your freshman year, and then by your sophomore year, you're going to be starting, and you're going to change this university. You could be pushing for a Heisman your senior year. They'll tell you that because they know you're 18 and you're gullible.
Right, yeah, and it's like how, you know, in the other 45 living rooms you were in the past month, you know, what were you saying to them too? So
that's part of the recruiting battle is to get the guys on campus. And I think if a guy gets to campus and realizes this isn't right for me, he should be free to leave.
I mean, it's the same thing as going to college and 2 years in you say, nah, I don't need to go to college. It's not for me. I don't keep up with it. It's the same type of thing. And one of the parameters of the new requests is potentially something to do with moving closer to home if you're far away, whatever it may be. But it's interesting. We'll see what happens with that and how much pushback there is. Jacob Padilla next on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back, Hail Varsity Radio on a Friday. Colton Stone alongside Elijah Herbal. Follow us on Twitter at @2birds1stone, at Herbal Essences for Elijah. Hit us up, send us a tweet, DM us, whatever. We're here for the next hour and a half, so we'll answer any questions and all questions that you might have. Another guy you can find on Twitter at @JacobPadilla_ is Hail Varsity's Jacob Padilla. Follow him. Find him on HailVarsity.com for everything Nebraska basketball and more. Jacob, it is about a half a million degrees, if not hotter, outside. How are you surviving today? We good? Jacob, you there? Mind utility? Why don't we? Oh, are we good now? Jacob, can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. What I was saying before is it's about a million degrees outside. How are you surviving today?
Well, I'm hanging out in the air conditioning now, but after we get done with this spot here, I'm going to have to head out out west to work out at the racetrack for a little bit. So that's going to be fun.
Stay as close to indoors as you can. I know it may not be possible in this weather, but blast the AC in the car and pray. But before we get into men's basketball, I was going through the mailbag earlier this week and just talk a little bit about, you know, I briefly mentioned women's basketball earlier in the first segment, but about Amy Williams in year three and kind of what maybe the expectations, what the expectations might be for this women's basketball team. We saw them get into the NCAA tournament. They had a pretty rough year, get into the NCAA tournament, and then miss. So I guess it's year four. What is your basis of their expectations going into this season?
Oh, I think the expectation is certainly to be a tournament team this season. With all the experience they gained for the young core last year, with so many freshmen and sophomores playing, and bringing all those players back after gaining all that experience, I think consistency was a big issue last year. And you would hope now that they've got that full season under their belts that they'll be able to figure that out a little bit more. The sophomores become juniors and the freshmen become sophomores. And now you've got another talented freshman class coming in behind them. Mm-hmm. So I think a tournament run, a tournament berth is certainly the primary goal. And I think they've got an even higher ceiling than just making the tournament for sure.
Jacob Padilla was on Hail Varsity Radio. Find him on Twitter at @JacobPadilla_. Jacob, we were talking in the first segment about transfers and how the NCAA's trying to make it as hard as possible for people that transfer. Like I prefaced, for grad transfers, it's not an issue as long as the program exists, but it's more so about the guys that and ladies that aren't getting playing time, have something come up with family or trying to move, whatever it may be. In in the scheme of basketball, which the rosters are smaller, so transfers kind of become a bigger deal, and especially looking at Hoiberg's roster, there are a lot of transfers. What could making those eligibility waivers tougher due to the landscape of basketball, not only football?
Yeah, it just seems like the NCAA really has no idea what it's doing here with the kind of the rules bouncing back and forward the way they have been. It used to be pretty much outside of grad transfers, and they're rare, like special circumstance, everybody had to sit out a year. Then in recent years, they started loosening up on that and granting more immediate eligibility waivers in the last few years. And in both football, basketball, whatever you kind of look at it, it seems like it's been fairly random. A lot of players have seemingly received those waivers where it basically looked like playing time was the issue and there weren't any extenuating circumstances. Mm-hmm. And yet you've got other players that have legitimate reasons for transferring that haven't been getting the waivers. So I think the problem was that they didn't really specify kind of how things were going to work when they started kind of easing up on the rules. So now they're, and then we saw just how many players chose to transfer and put in for waivers. And I think they were a little overwhelmed by kind of the reaction there. So they weren't quite ready for what they opened up. And now they're trying to kind of shut that back down here. Personally, I understand that the fear of tampering with other rosters and recruiting players off of other teams. And that certainly is the downside of this. And you hate to see that kind of stuff. But in most situations, I'm incredibly pro-player on all these things. I think a lot, honestly, I like the fact that more waivers were being awarded. I was just kind of confused about the rationale behind which ones got the waivers and which didn't. So I think instead of making it tougher, I think spelling out the kind of rules and what it would take to get that is probably a better move for everybody else. But again, the NCAA cares more about itself than kind of doing what's best for the students, obviously.
So are you saying it's kind of a situation where maybe they got, well, like you said, it wasn't so defined, but they almost got a little too lenient where they're like, this makes sense. And then now that it's just become, like you said, overwhelming, it's not so much making it tougher, it's just saying, hey, you can't transfer because of this, but if this if A doesn't happen but B does, you can transfer.
Yeah, I guess we'll see kind of how this actually mm-hmm. plays out on the way they're trying to change things here. Because again, I don't even remember necessarily kind of the point where the waiver process did start to become more loose and kind of what was said at that time or anything. It just kind of seemed like it just happened out of nowhere, and now they're kind of going back on that a little bit. But yeah, I think just spelling out exactly how you can get waivers is kind of the biggest issue here, just in terms of the optics of it. Because why does it seem like any quarterback who wants to transfer is able to get immediate eligibility wherever he goes, whereas you've got other players in less kind of marquee positions that might legitimately have good reasons for transferring, whether it's family reasons or, again, coaching changes or situations like that, and those players aren't getting kind of the same waivers. Like, I just don't quite understand the NCAA's thought process on some of these the waivers that have been awarded. So, like, if you're going to give those guys the waivers, then give it to everybody. That's kind of my, like, I don't necessarily like going backwards. I like at least evening out the playing field, really, and kind of spelling it out clearly for everybody so we all know the playing field.
Jacob Bedilla with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Jacob, reading your story, talking about in-state recruiting, the battles that Nebraska is having with Creighton, and you know, seeing the seasons that UNO and Creighton had last year, and you know where Nebraska fits into that competition as far as Nebraska goes. But looking at the in-state recruiting, can you give me a thought on the Miller North duo between Max Morrell and Hunter Salas, and then a thought on Chucky Hepburn also, and kind of where Nebraska is in the landscape of those three guys?
Yeah, Morrell just got an offer from Creighton, and that kind of sparked off a series of high major offers after a good showing in the Midwest Showcase last week. Nebraska currently is kind of full on for 2020 after Hoiberg kept the commitments of Donovan Williams and DeAndre Davis. So right now they're still recruiting 2020, but they don't currently have any scholarships to offer in that class. So it's kind of a just kind of keeping it ready in case you never know, attrition seems to happen every year. So I don't necessarily know that Nebraska will be in the mix for Max Morrell. He's a great fit for what Creighton wants to do and some of these other schools that are recruiting him as well. But Hunter Salas in 2021, and Jason Green is the third Millard North player, and yeah. He's one that Nebraska did just offer for 2022. So they're kind of looking way ahead there, and you look at him, he's certainly the most projectable player in that class just with his combination of size and athleticism and skills. So Nebraska is currently going after two guys on that Millard North team, and then Chucky Hepburn as well. And 2021, Nebraska will have a little bit more space in that class than they currently do at 2020, even though it's a couple years off. And I expect them to be heavily invested in going after both those guys. And Salas in particular is Rivals is very high on him. He's a top 60 recruit for them, 4-star. 24/7 hasn't really caught up. They haven't rated him yet. I don't think they've seen a whole lot of him, but he certainly looks a part. He's long. He's athletic. He's really skilled, able to get to the rim or pull up and shoot over defenders. I think he's really good in transition, and because of that, he'd be a perfect fit for both Creighton and Nebraska. And that's part of the – and then Chucky Hepburn kind of fits into that as well, who's really, really good. The point guard out of Bellevue West is really good at pushing the tempo and getting the ball down the floor in a hurry and finding open teammates and getting in the rim and finding shooters on the perimeter. So both those guys are really good fits for both systems. And that was kind of a main point of my column I wrote today is with the coaching change, not only does Nebraska have a little bit more cachet when it comes to local recruiting with a guy like Hoiberg, who has had success at the college level and has put a lot of guys in the NBA. But they also compare more directly to Creighton. Previously, you had Miles' style was very different from Creighton's.
Right.
Now they're both playing up-tempo, spread-it-out style of offense. So I think we're going to see these teams go head-to-head on recruits like these kind of continuing into the future. And it's a bit more of a level playing field than it has been previously, which is good for Nebraska.
Jacob Bedilla with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Jacob, about 90 seconds. James Palmer Jr. lands on a summer league roster. Roby, as we know, is on a summer league roster. And then I haven't heard anything about Glenn Watson. I guess, what does Roby need to show in the summer league? And what does James Palmer need to do to at least maybe solidify himself as a G League player?
Yeah, I've been kind of keeping an eye out. I've got a column open on TweetDeck for Glenn Watson's name, but haven't really seen anything happen there. We're starting to see the G League rosters filter out now. James Palmer Jr. ended up with my Phoenix Sun, so I guess I'll be able to kind of follow him pretty closely here. But hopefully we'll see Watson's name on a roster before the end of kind of this release period and the tournament starts next week. But the big thing for Palmer is he's got to be able to hit shots. He has not been very efficient throughout these pre-draft camps. He's gotten his buckets at times, but the jumper isn't falling, and because of that, he's kind of becomes a lot easier to guard. So if he wants to keep playing over here and potentially in the G League and get a shot at the bottom part of an NBA roster, he's got to be able to knock down the three-pointer, and that's what he's going to have to show in summer league this year.
Jacob Bedilla, follow him on Twitter and find him on HailVarsity.com, HailVarsity Magazine, at Jacob Bedilla _. Jacob, stay cool. Try to stay out of the sun and the heat as much as you can. Thanks for hopping on. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me, Colton.
HailVarsity continues after this.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Jake Padilla for jumping on there and talking a little bit of Husker basketball. Got to find things to talk about in the summer, and I'm glad that in-state recruiting, something that people have been screaming from the rooftops about every sport. Now you've got a guy for baseball that understands it. You've got a guy for football that understands it. You've got a guy for basketball that understands it. And don't forget all the other programs that, of course, understand in-state recruiting as well. Colton Stone alongside Elijah Herbal. Fine. Follow us on Twitter. Hit us with a message. DM us. Tweet us. Do whatever you want. I mean, berate us on Twitter, I guess. I don't know. Just be nice. Be kind. Maybe not to Elijah, but I've got a reputation to keep up. But find us. Follow us on Twitter at @2birds1stone, at Herbal Essences. And Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports coming up. And let's see, take a look at the clock, 25 minutes or so. Excited to talk to Bill and hit all the news that's happening this week. But first, Elijah, just a personal question really quick. Who do you root for in the NBA, or do you have an NBA team?
My dad and my whole dad's side of the family is from Denver. So right. Most of the professional sports teams, I lean towards Denver. So I'm a big Nuggets fan.
Okay.
So I've dealt with years of torment and pain.
That's kind of where I was going with it.
We finally have some talent now. You love to see it. Jokic is kind of coming into his own. Jamal Murray's getting better. He's still young. He's 21.
Are they going to re-sign Isaiah Thomas?
Definitely not. Definitely not. That dude, I mean.
Man, I hope he finds
for him.
A place.
I root for him. Nuggets wasn't the right fit. They were looking for a guy to come off the bench and be able to spark some scoring. But then he was out at the beginning of the year, and our second team kind of came together and was a good unit together. They passed the ball well. They really made it hard on defenses and played like our first team, and Isaiah Thomas didn't fit with that.
Yeah, and I mean, a hip's especially, I mean, in any sport, I guess, any sport you use your legs, a hip is not going to be an easy thing to be able to kind of just transition off of. But my point with my question to you, I root for the Heat. We've had 5 good years ever, and 4 of them were consecutive, and the other one was when Shaq and D-Wade won a title, and that not the only time D-Wade was phenomenal, but that dude just took over now, that finals. But
you called 4 straight years magnificent, but you lost to the Mavs in 6.
Okay.
Are you considering that year?
Oh, no. I mean 4 years of, like, success, not overall success, but not 4 years of the desired end.
What that team accomplished down there was incredible.
And I told Greg this when him and I host. I was like, you know, if there's one thing I could change, I would change that they win all 4 of those. I still think LeBron leaves, even if they win all 4. I mean, if he left after they won 2 of 4, you know, the other thing I guess I would have changed is that he didn't say we were going to win 8. But if we would have, sign me up. I'd go to all the parades. But my point being is, yes, the Heat are now in an eternal demise. I don't know what the answer is. Get rid of I hate saying get rid of Pat Riley because of everything he's done for that franchise. But, man, he has taken this thing and just running it straight into the ground. It is abysmal. Had Bull Bull. Not that I was, like, super excited about that, but I was like, okay, let's just – we not only don't have draft picks, consistent draft picks over the next 5 years, we're also just getting rid of any guy we draft. And so end up with Tyler Hero, and I guess that's fine.
A guy I thought would have fit really well in Miami would have been Klay Thompson, but earlier today Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted He tweeted that the Warriors are planning on offering – Klay Thompson a 5-year, 190 max deal.
Okay.
As soon as free agency starts, and then it sounds like Klay Thompson wants to accept and stay.
Okay. So, not that I predicted this, but I remember when we talked about this the first time, if I had to pick which guys stay, it was the original gang. If you can keep, I know Iggy's, I mean, he's on his way out, you'd think. I don't know. That dude's still balls. He's just kind of injury riddled at this point. But old, if you keep. You know, let's be a little nice. He just gets hurt a lot. It's not because he's 39. I don't know how old he is. He's in his 30s. I know that, late 30s. But if you keep Klay, Steph, and Dre together and then kind of fill in from there, which is basically what they've done. I mean, I'm not going to say Iguodala is just a fill-in player or Boogie or Bogut or anybody. It's just JaVale McGee was definitely just a fill-in player. But But even him, I mean, he still played fairly well for them. He wasn't a scrub by any means.
Brian, good rebounding and defense, which that's what you need him to do.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of their offense and their defense, frankly, is your big guy doesn't have to be a Boogie or an AD that are a stretch five. You can almost play a traditional five, you know. And if they're willing to take Hassan Whiteside's contract so that he can actually get some players, hey, sign me up.
Oh, no chance.
No. God, no one's going to take. I think he exercised his player option. He's going to get like $27 million this year.
He'd be dumb to not exercise his player option.
You know, okay.
Go get paid.
Okay, before we talk about. The reason I asked who you root for is because the Lakers are kind of delusional, I feel like, but we'll get to that in just a second. Harrison Barnes. Say what you want about Harrison Barnes. But who is his agent that he's declining $25 million?
I don't know.
Who's going to give him that?
Maybe he's...
Would you?
Maybe he's ready for a change of scenery, and he's willing to take a pay cut? That's the only thing I can think of.
I don't know.
I mean, he got a great deal coming out of Golden State, and he's played well, but he hasn't lived up to a $25 million a year contract.
No.
So I think he should have rode that for as long as he could have, but whatever. He'll do what he wants to do. Maybe he wants to go back to a good team.
See, here's my thing. I know we got 2 minutes, but here's my thing is if you are a guy like Barnes and you're getting 25, take it. If you're a guy like Chris Middleton where your player option's like 12, there's a team that's willing to give Chris Middleton a max or a near max contract. There is not a team that I can think of that is willing to give Harrison Barnes $25 million. So, I wanted to ask you this because I was trying to talk some sense into Schmidt. If you are the Lakers, do you get a max guy and then a bunch of minimum guys? Or do you go my plan and what other people on Twitter have said and get a combination of not these guys specifically, but like a Patrick Beverley, a J.J. Redick, XYZ, fill in some role players and spend your money, spread it out, and get guys that fill your roster?
That's not what L.A. is about, though. L.A. is about
flashy.
The superstar.
Yep.
And earlier today, a source close to the organization says the Lakers believe that it's a two-horse race between them and Toronto for Kawhi. Hmm. Kawhi has three visits scheduled right now, one with the Lakers, one with the Clippers, and then his last one scheduled with the Raptors. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers believe that it's a two-horse race. And I don't know what they're going to do if they do sign him. It's a great signing. I mean, he's a great player. But then you have a starting five, and then your bench is terrible. That's a team that would succeed in the postseason, but may struggle just to get into the postseason.
See, and that's the difficult part. You look at a roster with three superstars, and you're like, oh, you imagine them playing in the playoffs? You imagine them playing 70 games? Anthony Davis has not played more than 70 games in a season. I don't know what they think they're going to get out of it.
Kawhi sat out half of last year.
Yeah, we'll talk more in the next segment. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Colton Stone alongside Elijah Herbal. And you and Justin, about 12 minutes, we'll talk to Bill Dolman and pick his brain a little bit. I know that Bill just is excited to get on the horn and talk to us. But first, before a little bit more Lakers news, let's hear from Chris Schmidt. He's out on the golf course, so why not hear from our good friends at Austad's Golf?
4th of July just around the corner and still plenty of summer left for you to golf. Get to Austad's today, 27th at Pine Lake in Lincoln, and get fit before the summer's over with Master Fitter Chris DeBusk. And it's changed my golf, and it can do the same for you when it comes to getting custom fit by Austad's. What they did is they had video analysis, and they measured the whole thing for me. They measured ball speed, club head speed, and, of course, carry distance. And then we figured out what I needed when it comes to making my swing and distance better. Hybrids were the direction I went, a 3-hybrid, a 6-hybrid, a 7-hybrid, and a new putter, and it's worked wonders. I tried out all the different brands and settled on Mizuno, and the second shots have been phenomenal. The game enjoyment is great. Get fit. It makes a difference. And Master Fitter Chris DeBusk at Austad's can make that happen. Real easy. Just log on austads.com.
Hit up Austad's Golf for all your golfing needs. Get fitted for clubs. Get all your equipment that you may need this summer. Get out and golf. I know I said that it's like a million degrees out there. And as we just heard on that weather report, 107 heat index potentially on Saturday. So thank God I have a pool.
I think that means you hit the golf course, you just drink more beer to cool off. Mm. That's the key here.
Two beers to one water. Just make sure you have a good hydration ratio. Or, you know, drink Bud Light. It's like drinking canned water. Okay. Yeah. Not a sponsor, so who cares, right? I'm a Miller Lite guy. 96 calories, 3.2 carbs per serving.
Also not an ad.
No, it's not. I made the joke the other day. So I'm sure you know what the keto diet is, right?
Oh, yeah, my dad's on the keto diet. Yeah. I know he's listening right now. Shout out, Dad, on the keto diet. Hasn't helped him lose much weight, but he's getting there.
Tweet me if it works. Yeah, he just said it hasn't worked. But
he's getting there. That's the key.
Yeah. I mean, that one's tough, dude, because it's like you have to really watch. But my joke was that that like typical average for like carbs you're allowed to eat on the keto diet is like 30 or less. That's your goal for net carbs. So with 3.2 carbs in a Miller Lite, if all I did was eat like ground beef and I got all my carbs from drinking beer, I could have 9 Miller Lites a day. That's only like 29 carbs.
You couldn't have any other carbs whatsoever. You just have to eat straight ground beef.
Yeah, ground beef, some peanut butter.
A steak. You can throw a steak in there too. Chicken breast.
And 9 Miller Lites. Yeah.
It's a part of every balanced diet.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if it works, it works. Quickly, before we head out, we were just talking about free agency, and sources are saying, and sources close to Stephen A. Smith are saying, Kawhi is requesting a Magic Johnson Genie Bus only meeting for the Lakers. I find that interesting. Maybe we can get into it a little more next hour. But
what's interesting there is Magic Johnson's not a part of the team still.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's, would that break NBA rules for him to be in that meeting?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out more as more information comes out with that. Colton Stone, Elijah Herbal, Bill Dolman on the way. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome back. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Colton Stone alongside Elijah Herbal. Find us, follow us on Twitter at @2birds1stone, at Herbal Essences, as many S's and Z's as I can get in there. We have a Twitter mention that we will get to. It was already on our list of things to get to, so no worries there. We will get to that. But first, I'd like to welcome in the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' Bill Dolman. Billy D, it's about 100 degrees anywhere you go. I saw it's about 97 in Denver. How are you on this scorching afternoon?
Well, thankfully, I'm in Denver, and you won't hear me say that very often, where there is very little humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, having lived in Houston a couple of times, 97% humidity can actually be somewhat of a relief from what you ordinarily get. But I still maintain, as much as I love God's country and being from Nebraska, we have had the worst weather, I think, of anywhere. You got like 6 nice days a year, and you've got Minnesota cold, and you've got Houston heat. So if you guys are suffering through that right now, then I'm sorry, but get used to it.
Yeah, 22 years here has served me well. I complain about. I think that's the funniest thing. Anyone from Nebraska knows the weather sucks, and yet we all still complain, hoping that it'll change one day. But it doesn't. It never does. It never gets better. It only worse. Bill, before I get into some national stuff here, controversy a little bit during this week with Nebraska's Fan Day. and their fan day experience, mostly to do with the line to get Scott Frost's signature. They announced that they were going to do a JV team for people 8th grade and under, for kids 8th grade and under. You got some free, like, red-white tickets and a couple of different goodies in a bag, and then also 250 of those kids got selected to have a chance, you know, selected to get a signature from Scott Frost, and now there was a little bit of uproar. Now that's free, and I guess my question to you is there a reason for people to, like, have an uproar that they don't get a shot at getting Scott Frost's signature? Because, I mean, you're going to go and wait in line for 2 hours to maybe get one.
Well, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. It's fan day, correct?
Right.
It's not fan week. It's correct. Not fan month. It's fan day. So there ought to be that day that is for the fan. And while it may be somewhat inconvenient for those who are on either side of the table grabbing a Sharpie, it is a day that Nebraska has had forever, and it ought to be for those fans. You know, when I grew up, Nebraska football was not as accessible as it is. And what I mean by that is, you know, there were maybe two games on television a year. Mm-hmm. Now they're all on. You know, ticket. You know, it's been sold out since 1962. We all know that. But for those opportunities for fans to be able to come in, see the stadium, see the players, see the coaches, you know, however inconvenient it might be for Nebraska's personnel. I think that it has to be for the fan, and whatever they can do to accommodate those people who make the trek, and they're not just coming from Avery to Ave Street. I mean, they're coming campus to Cornhusker. Mm-hmm. They're coming from all over the state, all over the region, the 500-mile radius, and Nebraska needs to do whatever they can to make sure that those fans are accommodated for that singular day. Because yeah, the games are on. You see them all and all of that, but if you want to maintain the fan base, the culture, and all that, I think it has to be the day for the fan. And anything that's going to make it more difficult on them, I just don't agree with that. I was disappointed when I saw that there even needed to be a reversal.
Well, and I think part of it, and Schmidt and I were trying to, like, thumb through maybe why there was the restriction to begin with, and even Searle said this too. I think it's more about, you know, making sure you don't have the guy that's going to get six mini helmets signed, doesn't want them personalized, and is going to turn around and sell them. But I get your point too. Like, if you're going to make the drive to try to meet, even if it's just if you want to meet two guys that are there, that you should have the ability to do so no matter what.
Look, for some people, that's the only time they're ever going to step foot inside Memorial Stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have whatever they can spend in order to get tickets. Now, I know tickets are accessible and you can get them wherever, but, you know, all for the access to the program, and I don't want to talk about what was Bill Burns' famous line, the boosters of note that I listen to. You know, there are infinitely more who are growing up, even in this day and age, like me, where you may get to go to one or two games in your life, and you may never step foot inside Memorial Stadium except for that one day that is designated to be to the fan. Yeah, I know that there are those people out there who are trying to do whatever they can to get signatures to turn around and sell it, which to me is just asinine. Mm-hmm. But I think that those people are for the most part, in the minority. If you're going to tell a kid, 8th grade and under, that it's going to be $35 to get Scott Frost's signature, a guy who's making $7 million, I just don't get it. And if you're a player that's, you know, put out by having to sit and endure it, you know, Nebraska can make accommodations. It's going to be 130 degrees inside the stadium. And if you're going to have a line for Adrian Martinez, it's going to weave its way all the way down to Hickman. That's part of the deal. That's what you sign up for when you become a Nebraska football player. I'm out in Colorado. I'll guarantee you, if they have Colorado's Fan Day, it could be Colorado's Fan Hour. and they could probably run through everybody. You know, UCLA, USC, even some of the biggest programs in the country are never going to have the kind of day like Nebraska provides for its fans. And so I think Nebraska needs to do whatever it can do to make sure that those fans are accommodated. And again, I get that there are people out there trying to get signatures to make a score, and that's too bad. But every kid that wants an autograph ought to be able to get an autograph, because that's why you go to Nebraska.
Bill Dolan with us, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Bill, shifting a little bit here, something Elijah and I were talking about the first hour, is this new transfer, not necessarily a rule, but it kind of seems like the NCAA is trying to define the transfer request a little more. It feels like they were a little lenient, and now they're kind of trying to find a common ground so players can't just say, you know, I'm out, I'm leaving, I'm going to transfer wherever. And I think Jacob made a good point, Jacob Padilla, he made a good point that it feels like if you are a quarterback or a player of note, it felt easier for you to get a transfer rather than a second or third string lineman that honestly just wanted to move closer to home or wanted more playing time. I just wanted your thought on the NCAA kind of trying to crack down on these transfer requests now after a year or two of them being very lenient on it.
Well, I think it's become somewhat the wild, wild west with all the transfers and the mm-hmm. portal and all those kinds of things. And I know that Jay Billis of ESPN is the champion for the player and all that, and far be it from me to be somebody who's going to be the champion for the NCAA. But at least they're addressing the situation. Mm-hmm. And what I think needs to be more applied more and more is that, and I don't know this to be the case, that it's not this way, but I think each individual case has to be thoroughly investigated. I don't think it can be, well, you let the guy at Mississippi go to Michigan, and so therefore you have to let the guy from Georgia go to Ohio State. I think you really got to look at everything case by case. Is there a dire emergency? Was there a very uncomfortable situation involving race, which I believe was one of the early cases that was looked at? But to just put a blanket on and say, okay, everybody has to fall under these specific guidelines, I don't necessarily know if there was, you know, specific investigation, but I think there has to be. Mm-hmm. And football and basketball are different than all the other sports. As much as you'd like to think, well, it should be this way for wrestling, for softball, for whatever. But if the NCAA is going to take a harder line approach to investigate the reasons necessary for the transfer, then I think that that's a good thing. That way you get away from this collegiate athletics free agency. I hate the fact that there might be a school, or that there are schools, who investigate and invest a ton of money in a 16, 17, 18-year-old student-athlete just to get him to come to campus. And as I say that, I'm sure that there are Nebraska fans sitting at the kitchen table or driving in their car going, oh, yeah, I know who we spent a lot of money on. And the next thing you know, they get there and they want to leave. And you've invested tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to get that kid to come to campus, and then all of a sudden he wants to leave. I think that there ought to be some compensation for that school that loses a kid because he just doesn't either, A, want to be there anymore, or B, the circumstances aren't quite living up to the reasons for the transfer. Look at Adrian Martinez. Scott Frost spent a ton of money going from Orlando to Fresno just to go talk to that kid, the famous after-practice, you know, recruiting visit. How much did it cost to get that private plane to go from Orlando to Fresno and back? And then how much did Nebraska invest in just getting Adrian Martinez to come to Nebraska? You know, and in a short period of time, a lot. And it's paying off. He's not going to go anywhere. But think of the amount of money that Nebraska spent on, oh, I remember there was a tight end out of Florida by way of junior college where they recruited him hard, and then they went down to Florida and they bought his girlfriend a hamburger to try to get him to come, and turns out he was kind of a bust. I mean, the amount of money that's wasted in recruiting to me that there ought to be some type of compensation for the school that loses the player if he wants to transfer.
A couple minutes left here with Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, Pride of Fairbury. Bill, another student-athlete kind of situation going on. In California, they're trying to pass a bill that's saying players can profit off of their likeness and can sign with agents, so on and so forth. And I think they left this window open that they said 2023 to give the NCAA a chance to adapt to it and other states a chance to adapt to it. You just said we're kind of in college football free agency and basketball a little bit. If that were to pass, I mean, the NCAA said they wouldn't be able to participate in championships, but that would be the true definition of college free agency, wouldn't it be?
Well, I think you have to put some type of, I don't want to say price control, because that sounds so uncapitalistic, but if you are going to be enticed to go to a California school because it's now law that you can make money off of your likeness, and I'm not saying players should not be able to do that, but if all of a sudden a player's, you know, jersey is priced at $5,000 in the campus bookstore, somebody might pay that legally to get the kid some more money. I think that there ought to be some type of clearinghouse that all of that money that goes into, and you know, the collegiate licensing thing is very well policed. I mean, you put anything on a number or any logo on anything, and they're going to come down on you hard. Mm-hmm. So it's already audited to a certain extent. But I think whatever money goes into the purchase of those jerseys ought to go into a pot in which everybody benefits somewhat the same. Again, it's somewhat uncapitalistic. I get that, and I'm a total capitalist. But if all of a sudden, again, I go back to Adrian Martinez, or go back to my day when I was in Nebraska and Tommy Frazier, if all of a sudden that jersey is worth an X amount of money, you're going to see, you know, players making a huge amount of money legally, whereas their teammate may not. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that there has to be a way to audit that so that everybody benefits in a way, if that's the way it's going to be. I think California has probably laid down the law to a certain extent to tell the NCAA it has to adapt, but I don't think that they can necessarily let it stand the way it is. But I'm sure that there's going to be a day where players start to make a little bit more money legally based off their likeness instead of being left out in the cold. I'm fine with it being the way it is right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that there's going to have to be a day where things do change.
About 90 seconds here, Bill. Bill Dolman, NBC Sports with us. Last thought on NBA free agency, a two-parter here. One, are the Lakers kind of delusional for trying to get another max player rather than trying to fill out a roster and a team you're familiar with, Houston? What are they doing with their controversy down there?
Well, the Rockets, I think, are finding themselves in some dysfunction, and I think that's pretty evident. They've got an owner that is pretty aggressive, which is great, and I like owners who are willing to invest in their team. But, you know, Houston hasn't been that far off, and to think that all of a sudden they're going to make some changes and it's going to, you know, benefit them and they're going to take that next step, I'm not sure that's necessarily going to happen. I think ego is starting to rule the day down there as opposed to the prudence of the pocketbook, and I think the Rockets might be in trouble. The Lakers, I don't think anybody can figure out what they're doing and have been doing the last 10 years or so. Yeah, it's great you got Anthony Davis finally, and you traded away all those players to create some cap space, and you're going to try and get Kawhi Leonard, which you may or may not do, but it takes a lot more than a big three to win an NBA title. And if you're going to bring in a bunch of guys like me to fill out that roster, they're going to be in a lot of hurt. LeBron's getting up there in age. Anthony Davis is young. Kawhi Leonard is probably the best player on the planet right now. Mm-hmm. But you still have to have quality players to fill out that roster beyond those three if you're going to compete and win a world championship. And I'm afraid that they're clearing so much cap space to land one guy that they're going to end up with the Washington Generals and not the Harlem Globetrotters.
Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Bill, take it easy. We'll talk to you probably in about a week, and enjoy the Denver weather.
And
And we're back.
Fellas,
you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Bill Dolman hopping on, talking all the important things during the week. Didn't get to ask him about the College World Series, but that's okay. Elijah and I, in about 15 minutes, we'll dive into that. We haven't really got to talk too much about it this week. It's been a lot of other stuff going on, plus, you know, the fan day rage. So, miss any of the interviews, it'll be up on the Hail Varsity On Demand on the website. It'll be on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter, as well as the Hail Varsity Twitter. And the full show will be on hailvarsity.com, as well as iTunes. Colton Stone alongside Elijah Herbal. Find us on Twitter at Two Birds, One Stone, at Herbal Essences. As always, at Hail Varsity. And we got a tweet in, so feel free to tweet in if you have any questions, like anything we'd like to talk about. And this was on our list a little later for the show, but we'll get into it now. It's from Wyatt. Our thoughts on the Iowa alternates. When will Nebraska release theirs? Which, if we had that information, I don't know if we'd have the power to leak that, but maybe. And what are we hoping to see, especially as we've seen Nebraska, you know, like you said right before we hopped on, Elijah, they've I think the first one they did was 09. If I remember correctly, it was the...
It's the ones with the big old N on the front against Wisconsin.
No, not those ones.
The 300th consecutive sellout ones.
Yes.
With Sue, and we had Roy Helu on the team still.
Yeah. So they did 09. I don't think they had one in 10.
We skipped a couple years. The first year was... It was our first year in the Big Ten whenever we played Wisconsin at home.
Yeah. I think 11... I don't know if they had one for 11. They definitely did for 12. I want to say 12 might have been the first year. I know the information's out there. We can find it. But I'm sure Nebraska will come up with one. I know they've had one basically 2012 till last year. Wasn't the biggest fan of last year's helmets, but the jerseys were cool. I liked, you know, the kind of old school design.
It was 2012. Last year was our seventh straight year wearing alternates.
Right.
I'm assuming this year is going to be our eighth straight year wearing alternates. Every team's going to wearing at least an alternate uniform once a year.
It's the Oregon effect.
Yeah. And I don't know. The jury's still out on the Iowa ones currently.
Here's my thing. Now, first of all, they said something about old gold is bold, or going bold with old gold, or I don't know. Some rhyming deal. But, here's my thing. You take a school like Iowa that traditionally wears, and people have the same argument with Nebraska, and it would even be the same way with a school like Wisconsin. People throw this fit about Ohio State when they wore, like, the matte black helmets. But you take a school that you traditionally see in two colors, which I know that's pretty typical, but traditionally in two colors, with Iowa being white jerseys or black jerseys. So one or the other. And then Nebraska, you're either in scarlet. Well, what a week. Yeah, scarlet and cream, I guess, is what it's considered. But red and white, right? So when you start to break away from that a little bit, people kind of get angry. Or people are like, really? Why the hell are we doing this, right? And I know other Adidas schools have started shifting a little bit. My Sun Devils have gone all, or they go maroon, white, black. They've done some different desert chrome and desert ice and that kind of stuff. And they've done the Pat Tillman and military appreciation camo colors. And or not so much camo, but kind of the army like khaki or military khaki. But so, it's a thing that's happening. But you take a school like Iowa, and like I said, or Nebraska, where you see them in those two colors, and all of a sudden they're like, all right, let's take that third color we kind of use and make it the color we use for our uniform. And it just, I don't know, because I'm looking at it again, if it was all black and the wings were yellow, I think I'm good with it.
And if you haven't seen these jerseys yet, they're on my Twitter at herbal_essences. They're also on the University of Iowa Athletics Twitter page. You can go check them out there, or I'm sure you can Google them and see them. But they're really, they're bright. That's how I describe them. Is they're a very
they're bold, they're bright.
They're very bright yellow. They kind of hurt the eyes a little bit, in my opinion.
Also, no underscore on your Twitter.
Oh, excuse me. Herbal Essence is no underscore. It's my Instagram. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's the. I'll just pitch myself a little more. That one has the underscore.
Find my SoundCloud.
My SoundCloud rap career's incoming. It's on the come up.
I don't know. Like I said, I feel like, and they've done all black uniforms before, and I don't.
They wore them last year against Ohio State.
I don't have
that night game. I really like those, honestly.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with alternate uniforms. And generally, I'm kind of the guy that, you know, people are like, oh, why are they wearing that? And I'm like, I kind of like it.
Yeah, I was all blacks looked mean, whereas their alternates this year look like urine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm excited to see what Nebraska can bring this year.
Because one of the things at the Journal Star is whenever there's a game on, it doesn't really matter what game it is. It could be baseball, football, basketball, whatever. When someone's wearing a uniform and it's like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. Like I said, I'm kind of the guy that's like, you know, I'm for it. And then if it's something crazy, like, you know, a major league team's going to try to wear digital camo, please don't. Just it's save it for Legion and high school baseball, for the love of God. But looking at this, I don't inverse the colors and it's fine. That's all it is. And, you know, this would be like, this might be like an extreme, but this would be like if Michigan State was like, I've got a great idea, everybody. We're going to wear all green, and then we're going to have black or white, like, stripes on the top. Like, I like their green, but don't wear all green.
You know what these uniforms look like?
Oregon can barely pull it off. But.
These Iowa uniforms look like the Gotham, the football team in Batman. Which one is it?
It's Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight
Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. You got the football team playing in Heinz Field. That's what these uniforms look like. I just saw that tweet on Twitter, and it's a pretty striking resemblance.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I'm usually for it, but think about the way the game's going. Think about the uproar if Michigan wore all golds. Well, sorry, maize. If they wore all maize uniforms. You know how people would be pissed. I mean, I would too, frankly.
Have they done that before?
Has Michigan?
Yeah.
I don't know. But if they have, they should destroy any evidence that they have. I doubt they have.
They did.
Oh, no.
When was this?
Hopefully not recently.
They wore them against Florida 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Color Rush.
The Color Rush ones, yeah.
They did.
It was the yellow.
All yellow, all blues, right?
And let me tell you what, they don't look good.
Yeah.
No.
Remember the uproar when, I prefaced this with, when Ohio State, they wore like the matte black helmet. And it was like, these aren't their colors. You're taking a school. And it's one thing to wear it for one game. And I think that's why Nebraska gets away with it, is they do it for one game. They break tradition for a game. But when you get a uniform like the matte black with, I guess they did red and then maybe even like, because it was like charcoal gray. Or even get like a Northwestern where they do gold on purple or gold on black. And it's one thing, and Northwestern, I guess, doesn't have like a huge tradition necessarily with football, so they can kind of get away with it. But schools like Michigan, Ohio State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, even USC, UCLA's, those kinds of schools, like, you know what their uniforms look like. And it's like you break tradition too hard. You end up like trying too much. And that's why I think Oregon did it well, is they're just like, hey, we need something that makes us stand out in the crowd. We've got two colors that don't always work well together, so let's see what we can do.
Their school that doesn't have tradition was trying to build tradition.
Yeah.
And their uniform combos became the hot topic of college football. Everyone wanted them.
They're like, oh, what 36 combinations are coming out this year? The only bad ones really were their, I mean, it was for a good cause, but the pink just didn't work.
I didn't like the ones where they dressed up looking like an actual duck, where they had like the orange shoes and the orange socks to try to make it look like a duck's foot. And they had the orange face mask too.
Yeah. They've had a couple of swings and misses, that's for sure.
Do you have any of the Husker alternates you don't like, looking back? Because I personally, the first ones you wore against Wisconsin, I hated those. The big N on the front, ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's
never should have gone with those.
Of all the alternates, most of them I don't have a problem with. Most recently, like I said, didn't really like the helmet of the last one. The mesh ones were kind of cool.
The ones, the 96 throwbacks?
Yeah.
I really liked those
ones. They were all right.
They didn't stand out too much, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not, but they fit, and I go back and I look at pictures of the uniforms and I go, I wouldn't mind us wearing those again. And that's what I want in an alternate uniform.
The ice uniforms, I liked. The only issue I had with it is there was, like, other than the helmet, the jersey had no representation that it was Nebraska. I think that was other people. They were like, oh, well, this could be Indiana.
I also didn't like that we wore our all-white uniforms on the one field that we play at that's natural grass. Because then we had these beautiful all-white uniforms just getting completely ruined by grass stains. Yeah. And by the end of the game, the jerseys are half green. And I really like those uniforms, but I go back and look at pictures of the game, and it would have been better on an artificial turf field, which...
They did, let's see, they did two all-red versions. One had a red helmet. The other one had the black helmet. The one with the black helmet was better because it wasn't the block end. It didn't look like duct tape, so on and so forth. But my personal favorite, and it like I said this at work the other day, actually, when we found out about these alternates, my favorite, and I'll take it to my grave, is 2013 when they played UCLA. No, they didn't win.
Yep.
But white pants with a black stripe down the side, matte white helmets, the face mask went from black to red or red to black. I always forget which way.
Black on the sides, red in front.
Yeah. So it like was a gradient on the face mask. They had the black stripe down the middle. Black jerseys, white numbers, red lettering, super easy to read, wasn't over crazy.
Still looked like Nebraska.
And
that's a major thing.
Yeah, it was. You could, for the most part, tell it was Nebraska. Yes, instead of red, they wore black. That was almost the only difference. They changed parts that were red to black. That was all. So what do I want to see from Nebraska? Do more like the all whites and the black with, like, black and white. I think... If you're going to stick to an alternate, if there's a guarantee that works for Nebraska, it's black and white rather than trying to go all red or all white or all black or anything
I agree,
like that.
And that's because Nebraska's third color, we don't technically have them, but it's
the
black.
Unsung tertiary color.
And it doesn't get enough love because we're the black shirts, yet no one from around the country knows why are they called the black shirts, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's nice to bring out the black every once in a while just to show we do appreciate this color.
Yeah. So I don't know when they're going to release that, but hopefully soon. And hopefully it's better than Iowa. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Hail Varsity Radio on a Friday. Colton Stone alongside Elijah Herbal, Chris Schmidt. Out for the day, but back tomorrow. Elijah, find us on Twitter. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I was about to ask you a question. Find us on Twitter at @2birds1stone at Herbal Essences. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, and more, we'll try to get to anything. If you'd like to reach out, we've been on air for about 15 more minutes. So if there's anything you'd like to add,
we'd love to answer your questions. Really,
yeah,
we'd love stuff to talk about. I mean, we don't have everything over
summer.
Here. I know this show's statewide, and there's questions from Western Nebraska, Central Nebraska, Eastern Nebraska. We like to talk about it all.
Anything past Fremont's Western Nebraska? No.
What is the cutoff to you, Colton, for Western Nebraska?
Well, I'm from Omaha, so anything outside of Omaha and Lincoln, for the most part. I make that joke. Like, if it's west of Fremont, it's Western Nebraska. I don't know where the cutoff is. I mean, there's definitely, like, Central Nebraska. So I don't necessarily consider Central Nebraska Western Nebraska, but the Panhandle for sure.
Panhandle for Western. Sure. For me, it's driving through the arch, the Kearney Arch. You drive through that Kearney Arch, you get past Kearney, and then you start thinking,
after
okay,
Kearney.
It's a little bit more Western now.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you guys have any opinions, add us on Twitter.
I went to Kearney for the six-man football championship. It was maybe one of the most exciting football games I've been to. And yeah, that, you know, Western Nebraska is the heart of that kind of stuff. Six-man and eight-man football, stuff's nuts.
Oh, small-town high school football, love it.
So good.
Love it.
Before we get in, we'll talk a little bit about the College World Series, just kind of thoughts on that. But I was reading this, and I guess when is this from? It's from this week, I believe, but it's actually from this morning. Ramona Shelburne, Brian Windhorst, just talking about kind of what the Warriors are going to do. If they were to offer Durant and Klay both maxes, and if they were to make that work and keep Kevin Looney, it'd be more than $375 million for payroll, which is more than $200 million in luxury taxes. So that brings me back to my point. If you can keep the core three and some role players, I'm not saying, like, let Durant walk because he doesn't make your team better. Of course he makes your team better. If he would have played in the whole series, I think they would have won the finals. But if you have to let one guy go, it's got to be Durant. Because I think you can build around the rest of them. You can find role players around the rest of them. And
you also don't know how Durant's going to come back from an Achilles injury. That's a pretty brutal injury to have.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean,
a lot of guys come back from ACLs. Klay will be fine. He'll come back in a year. His game isn't explosiveness and speed anyway. He's a 3-and-D guy.
It's dribble the ball 11 times and get 30 points.
Like, yeah, and run through a couple screens.
Yeah.
Get some half-open looks and knock him down.
Couple assists, whatever.
He'll come back just fine. Durant is just so all-around, and Achilles is such an important part of the leg with cutting and with explosiveness and sprinting and all that. You wonder how he's going to come back. I know Kobe had to...
Kobe rushed himself back.
Yeah,
but
he was rehabilitating for months and months, and you could see even when he came back, he wasn't the player he was before the injury.
And I think even think of, like, Boogie. You know, Boogie tears his Achilles, and he obviously had the hamstring thing too. But I think the two things that Achilles injuries hurt the most, the two kinds of players, are big men like Boogie because, I mean, that dude's putting, what, probably 270, 270, like on his feet at any given time, and then the added pressure of cutting and all that. I know he's a big man. He doesn't have to do a whole lot, but like I said, he's kind of a stretch five, so, I mean, that, you know, takes out your ankle. And then the other guy it affects is a guy like Kevin Durant, a guy like Kobe that is all over the place and shoots and plays, I guess, questionable how much defense you think Durant plays, but a decent amount. You know, he's all over. I mean, he just is all around and all over the place. That an Achilles for a guy like that is, who knows if he even comes back near full strength. So I don't know.
I mean, there's still going to be teams chomping at the bit to get him this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a question of...
If he's half the player he was, they'll be like, yeah, I'll take 22 points. You know,
are the Warriors ready to move on from Durant, though? I mean, they've been in the luxury tax for years now, and that builds year after year. The more years you spend in luxury tax, the more you're going to have to pay. And right now, the Warriors, they don't care about the luxury tax. They're making hand over fist out there. But eventually,
they've got a new arena. So,
yeah, eventually you're going to reach the point, though, where you say, all right, it's time to build a new core of young players. Steph is starting to get older. He's still in his prime, quote-unquote, but he's going to be past that prime soon. Klay, still solidly in his prime. Durant, in his prime, I guess.
But again, coming off an Achilles.
Klay's coming off the knee, and Steph isn't the same player he used to be. He's still Steph Curry, don't get me wrong. But there is a point where you have to start your rebuild. I don't think it's this offseason, and if you're giving Klay a five-year, $190 million max contract, it might not be for a couple years, but you got to wonder how this is going to affect them years down the line.
Yeah, I agree.
This is a huge offseason for the Warriors. Huge.
It's a huge offseason for... it's crazy because you look at the level of talent that's available in these free agents, and usually it's kind of like, oh, you know, a guy like Russell Westbrook could be a restricted free agent, or a guy like Paul, like one of them, and then it's a bunch of guys like Harrison Barnes and Chris Middleton, guys like that, where it's like they're good or borderline great, but it's like, yeah, your team could live without it. But this year it's just like anybody and everybody that has some talent to give is like, all right, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go to a new team. I don't care. It's a super team mentality. Quickly before we hit another break here, and I kept saying we didn't talk about it enough this week, and now here I am lobbying us to not talk about it. Your thought on the College World Series, I kind of, once Michigan had, it didn't even have a bad, that bad of a game. They just ran into the buzzsaw known as Kumar Rocker. But once they had that game, I knew.
Their mojo was gone. Yeah. They hadn't lost a game since, what was it, the first game of the Super Regional?
Well, I mean, yeah. So or they won the second game, whatever it was. They won the last Super Regional game. So taking back.
And then they went four straight in College World Series. Yeah. And they went four straight. And you could see once they had that loss, they didn't look like the same team in game two that they were in game one.
Mm-hmm.
And then game three, they just came out kind of flat again.
Yeah, derailed a little bit. And the thing with Vanderbilt is, all year, I mean, they were ranked number one in the preseason, but all year they were phenomenal. It was their pitching. Their hitting was consistent enough. They were the power of the SEC. It is what it is. But you look at that Super Regional game one against Duke, where they just get boat raced. I think it was, what, 15 to 1, 15 to 2, something nuts. They just gave up a bunch of runs. And then the next game, Kumar Rocker throws a 19-strikeout no-hitter.
One of the best individual performances of the college baseball season.
Oh, my. Maybe one of the greatest college baseball, feats of all time. I mean, it was nuts. So after that, I was kind of like, you know, if Vanderbilt doesn't win it, it's going to take a giant slayer to take these guys down.
It was almost Michigan.
And it was almost Michigan. We'll wrap up a Friday next on Hail Varsity Radio.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Time to tell you about West Blue Realty. The good folks at West Blue can make this move in 2019 painless. And the real estate professionals are waiting for your phone call today, as West Blue Realty specializes in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. And they'll make that thing smooth for you. It can be painless with West Blue Realty for a limited time. Mention Hail Varsity, and West Blue Realty will provide you up to $1,000 in the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby, Kelly Hoffsnyder, they are phenomenal. Give Tom Luby a ring today at 402-540-3768 or Kelly Hoffsnyder, 402-202-2312. And it pays to work with West Blue. And special consideration when you mention Hail Varsity, 233 South 13th, 11th floor, westbluerealty.com. What can West Blue do for you?
One final time on a Friday, Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Colton Stone alongside Elijah Herbal. Find us, follow us on Twitter at @2birds1stone, at @herbalessences. We're going to go a little rapid fire here with Twitter because we've only got 2.5 minutes. But number one target in 2020, if my choices, this is from Wyatt again, if my choices are between the three that you listed, between Huttmacher, Watts, and Gunnarsson, my early answer would be all three. But I can make a case for all three being the number one target. Watts, because you're so thin at receiver, and any guy in state that can catch the ball and run like he can, please put him on the team.
He's
like,
not the best player on the board that we're looking at by any means.
Right.
But just because he's in state, that elevates his stock so much more. You don't want to lose that in-state guy to North Dakota State, to Kansas, to other teams that we've lost guys to previously in the past, and it's come back to bite us.
With Huttmacher, dude is huge. His nickname's a polar bear. He's massive. Offensive line, even like a guy like Teddy Prochaska from Elkhorn South, I believe, is big too. So linemen are big. And the reason you can make the case for Blaze Gunnarsson is kind of that fringe is your radius. Had a visit to Iowa State, so it's kind of between Iowa State and Nebraska. But you need more linebackers and pass rushers. Anytime you can have more linebackers and pass rushers, that is a target.
Let's give the man a straight answer, though. Number one, of those three guys, who do you think is number one? For me, I'm putting it down as – it really is a good question. Thanks, Wyatt.
I'd say Watts. I'm saying Watts in-state, and you need wide receiver talent. I think not that you don't want a guy like Huttmacher, but I think if you're Nebraska, you need offensive weapons. You found plenty of linemen. You have a lot of linemen. So I'm going Huttmacher. But that – or I'm going Watts, probably then Huttmacher, and then Blaze Gunnarsson. I think that's of my of those three.
Blaze Gunnarsson is a guy that reminds me a lot of Garrett Nelson.
Yeah.
I think he's, he brings great aggressiveness. Plays with his hair on fire. But not my number one target. I think Huttmacher is up there. You got to have good linemen. Mm-hmm. And that's a key. We've already had two four-star linemen commit for this 2020 class. Mm-hmm. Make it three.
Yeah. All three, there's a case to make for them. We didn't get to the best Lincoln Southeast.
Sorry, Paul Buckle.
2017, are we solid with that one, Elijah?
I think that was a great offensive line, 2017. Personally, but 2011's up there, and then some of those 90s teams just had some maulers on there. So
UConn is leaving for the Big East. AAC will be looking for a new team. Conference expansion, once again, we'll see if Army or maybe Air Force is added to the AAC. For Elijah Erbel, I'm Colton Stone. Thanks for listening to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.